Nadelka Medina remembers being alone in an apartment in Canada, completely without hope.
Because of the anorexia, I found out that I could actually go for days and still feel energetic. So I would push that boundary. And so it would be 3 days, maybe just eating a little bit of fruit, then 4 days, 5 days. So I would push my body to the point where it was taking my life.
Today, hear how the truth set her free. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together, for May 14th, 2018.
The truth will set you free. We've been exploring those important words of Jesus through several series this year here on Revive Our Hearts. And today you're going to hear a powerful story from a woman who started believing a lot of lies when she was growing up. Of course, that had a huge effect on her relationships and every other area of her life. And then one day she went on the internet and did a web search on help for women. The Lord used that search to introduce her to the truth and to help her discover true freedom in Christ. Let's listen as Nadelka Medina shares her story.
Nadelka grew up in Nicaragua with her parents.
I always sensed that they were there, they loved me, and they wanted what was best for me. As a little girl, I always knew that.
Her parents were connected with the government and often gone from the home, busy with political activities. That meant Nadelka spent a lot of time with household workers.
When I was at home, one of the chauffeurs in our home was trusted, was there before I was even born, and he was loved. But at the age of 6, he sexually abused me in my home. That happened for a period of 2 years. That changed the way I looked at life from that very early age.
When Nadelka was 9, there was a violent change in the government and her family was in danger. So they fled, first to the United States, then finally settling in Canada.
So at the age of 9, we left, and I remember making a decision. The men were bad and that I never wanted to have children. And I left my country with those thoughts as a little girl. That was something that even when I was a teenager, I knew I was never going to be pregnant. And even if I ever got pregnant, my thought was, well, that child will never be born. So it was very extreme. What happened to me as a little girl is never going to happen to my children. Therefore, I don't want any children. Because I had said to myself that men were bad, I added an element to that, and I said Hispanic men are the worst. And so during my adulthood, I purposely did not want to be around any Hispanic men, didn't want them as friends, didn't want them as acquaintances, boyfriends, absolutely anything.
When Nadelka was in college in Canada, her parents moved back to Nicaragua. The country was safe enough to move back, yet Nadelka's mom was about to face some personal turmoil. She discovered that for many years, her husband had been unfaithful. Nadelka's mom came to faith in Jesus during this time of desperation.
And when I would talk to her on the phone, she would say, Jesus is my friend. Jesus loves you. Jesus saved me. I'm a new person. And I would not understand what she was saying. I thought she was crazy. First, she was a political person, and now she was a religious person. Crazy.
I didn't know exactly what was the problem, but I knew that it was something really wrong with her.
This is Marta Cecilia Fiallos, Nadelka's mom.
At that time, we had a group of sisters, very faithful sisters, that they were helping me to pray.
And she just kept saying, we're praying for you. We are praying for you. I had this hole in my heart. I had this bitterness and hatred towards men, my parents, and just the people that didn't protect me when I was a little girl. I wouldn't like people close to me. I wouldn't want people hugging me. I wouldn't want people to say compliments. It would make me feel very uncomfortable. Because of all the memories and how my body felt, I wanted to punish my body. And so I remember looking at the mirror and thinking, I look in a way that I didn't want it to look. I decided that I was going to change the way I looked and felt. And anorexia was what I decided that it was going to happen. So I didn't look the way certain parts of my body looked. So I thought if I stop eating, it will change. So at age of 18 is when it got chronic. Because of the anorexia, I found out that I could actually go for days and still feel energetic. So I would push that boundary. And so it would be 3 days, maybe just eating a little bit of fruit, then 4 days, 5 days. So I would push my body to the point where it was taking my life. I decided that I was going to commit suicide. I remember wanting to jump from the second floor of the apartment, and somebody came and knocked on my door, and that stopped that. And then wanted to take pills, wanted to take just different chemicals, and somebody else came and knocked on my door. And it made me angry that they interrupted what I was about to do. So I said, anorexia, it's the answer. And so it became more and more and more. So I would go a week, 7 days, 8 days, that I would just maybe eat an apple, little by little. And I knew that because it didn't work out before, how I tried to commit suicide, starving myself was gonna do it. I remember being in my apartment in Canada because I was in college. And I remember just putting black curtains all over my apartment, closing the doors where the light was coming through. It was dark. And I would get up in the morning, have nothing to eat, take a shower, sit in the couch. And whenever I had a little bit of energy, I would grab my books, read, and just sit and wait. And I knew eventually I would not come back or would not get up again. But I heard somebody that said, go to Nicaragua, that you will meet me there. And when I heard that, I knew it was God, but I didn't know what that meant. And so 7 days after, I was in a plane going back to Nicaragua for the first time since I left at the age of 9. So I was 23. When I arrived in Nicaragua, my weight was very low because I was trying to die. And when my parents saw me, they were shocked to see me, how I looked.
Very thin, very fragile. She barely could talk. She was not the same daughter that I left in Canada when we moved back to Nicaragua as a family.
I was ashamed that I was born in that country. So everything was foreign to me, but I was there because God had made an appointment.
So I told her, we're gonna go to a meeting with ladies that you don't know, but it's gonna be okay, then we're gonna pray for you. And
I saw the love that these ladies had for each other, how they loved my mother, how they finally saw who they've been praying for a whole year. And they just asked me questions, how I was feeling, what was going on. Finally, the meeting started, and there was a lady just sharing her story about what Christ had done for her. And she just shared her story, her struggles, and how God had saved her.
And immediately at that moment, I said, where is he? Where is God? I don't have that God that she's talking about. We went home that night, and I went back to my room, and I just started to talk to this God and said, you brought me here. Where are you? I don't know you. I don't have the God that that lady in that meeting is talking about. Save me. Where are you? I feel this pain, this bitterness, this emptiness. Please come and save me. And I remember crying like I had never cried before. And I went to sleep. When I woke up the next day, I was a new person.
I see her something different. And I remember she told me she wanted to eat something in the morning.
I felt hungry for the first time. I knew something changed, and that bitterness, that hatred, that shame to be Hispanic, to be in that country, was no longer there. And I remember coming out and telling my mom, I'm hungry, give me some food. And so I remember sitting down, having beans and rice, and to me that was food that poor people ate. And when I saw that, it was beautiful. I was the poor one. I was the poor one, the poor in spirit that needed to meet with God. And I ate that food, and then I walked outside in the garden, and for the first time, the sun, the flowers, everything was beautiful. So I remember opening the Bible and just reading and just feeding my soul that has been starving for so long. So I just kept reading, and I would stay in my room for days just reading, feeding on that word. I said, Mom, this is amazing. I'm fed. I met God. He's right here in this book. I started reading the gospel because I wanted to see who he really is. And as I read and how he corrected the Pharisees, I would see myself as that one there, that from the outside I looked polished, but in the inside I was wicked as I can be. And so when I would read the Gospels and how Jesus shares about, if you come to me, you will have eternal life. Knowing me is eternal life. And then I read about that living water. And when I cried all night, I said, that's what happened to me. I was empty so that he can fill me. And so reading the gospel was really what helped me understand what had happened to me and who I was now in Christ.
We're hearing the story of Nadelka Medina here on Revive Our Hearts. For many years, Nadelka grew in her faith and served the Lord as a single woman. But deep down, those two lies still affected her, that men couldn't be trusted and she could never have children. Those beliefs greatly affected Nadelka when she met and married a godly man, Diego Medina.
The first month was wonderful, and after the first month, just things started to get really bad.
She was very hard-headed and very opinionated.
This is Nadelka's husband, Diego.
She wanted to dictate what we'll do.
He would suggest something, and I would say, no, that's wrong, we're going to do this. And he would say, no, this is what we're going to do. I said, no, this is what we're going to do.
So you have two forces, you know, you have me and her trying to lead this family.
And I would just not follow or agree, and it was constant fighting back and forth.
It was very difficult.
I sensed that
what did I do? Why did I get married? I never wanted to be married. I married a Hispanic man, did not want to marry one because things were difficult.
And I really thought that, you know, our marriage was not going to survive. And this was early in our marriage.
I said, okay, so if I'm a wife now, what do I need to know about scripture specifically? And so I remember going into the computer, Googling and saying biblical wife or biblical womanhood. And the first link that came up was Revive Our Hearts. I had never heard about the ministry. I didn't even know what Revive Our Hearts was. So I clicked and it was an entire world in there. All the resources, all the things that they offer there. I started reading the articles. I started reading what exactly does the Bible say a biblical wife should act and look like. I remember listening to the radio programs and I was devouring. I was by myself at home. So since I love reading, I just kept reading article after article after article. And it was exactly what I needed at that time. I said, this is exactly what I need. So I went back to Ephesians and I remember seeing one verse there. It was Ephesians 5:22, where it says, wives, submit to your husband in everything as to the Lord. And those words, as to the Lord, they jumped out from the pages and went into my heart. And so all the articles, all the programs that I heard in the ministry just helped me see what I was missing in my marriage at that time.
When I came home, I had a different wife waiting for me. It was a miracle.
So as I read the many articles and listened to so many of the programs, I saw that Nancy was also an author and that she had written Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Set Them Free. So I immediately bought the book. Some of the things that I've read in the book, I learned God made men and women. Men is good. This is something that the Lord made in His image. Men are not bad because they're men. Men are bad because we're sinful. It set me free. There was, it revived something in me and it brought fruit.
Oh, it was a radical change. Hardly any arguments. And when there were, we were very civilized and we were able to just talk. Yeah, it was radical.
Well, I remember this very specifically because it's chapter 7 where Nancy talks about several lies that women believe regarding children. And the first one that she mentions, it's about that I would determine the size of the family or how many kids I wanted to have, or in my case, I didn't want any children. So all this time I thought I was in control, that I was not gonna have children. So when I read that section in chapter 7, I realized that it was the Lord. He was the one who, up to that point, had not given me children, and that I was never in control. So that was the first thing that the Lord used in my life to help me see that I was not in control, and if the Lord wanted me to be a mother, He was the one that was going to bless me with children. For the first time, I felt an awakening regarding children. And so when I read that in the book, I realized that it was the Lord already working in my life, but that helped me to see you're not in control. And so after I continued reading and searching the scriptures, I realized that children are a blessing, that children do come from the Lord. And I was open to the idea, Lord, if you want me to be a mom, you're calling me to be a mom, then that's exactly what you're going to do. And then I knew this is something that if the Lord is awakening a love for children and I'm not having biological children, is it a possibility that the Lord might want us to adopt children?
And just hearing the biblical perspective in adoption and just reading the Bible verses, how we were adopted into Christ's family, into God's family, how through adoption, you know, we're saved, we're welcome into His family. We can call Him Father because we have the Spirit of God that claim Abba Father, and it's this wonderful process of adoption that we become children of God. It just started changing my heart.
So we adopted our first three children. It was a sibling group. And then 2 years after, the agency called us and said that there was a baby. And Caleb was adopted about a year and a half after that. And then we thought we were done. But the Lord had a different plan, and Mercy Lila came a year after. As a mom, just having the opportunity to influence my children, to teach them, to correct them, to see them flourish and grow and learn. I was made for this. This is the highest calling, to be a mom and to be home with my children, to be able to see what they like, what they don't like, and just what God is doing in each one of them. It is a blessing. My mother prayed for me for an entire year that I would come to the knowledge of the Lord. And knowing that it was a burden for her that her daughter did not know the Lord, it has been the best gift that my mother has given me. And I hope that I would do the same with my children. My hope and my prayer for my children is to know the truth, to know the giver of truth, to know His word. 4 years ago, I made a decision as a mom that my children would memorize and know God's word as much as I'm able to teach them. And that's my hope, that they would know the Lord, they would know His word, and that they would love Him more than anything.
I had the joy of meeting Nadalka and Diego when Reviver Hearts was hosting an event in San Antonio. And it was so sweet to get to know this precious family and to see the fruit that has come from the transforming work of the truth. Nadalka Medina has been telling us today about some of the lies that she believed and the disappointment that came from believing those lies. And then she told us how the Lord set her free as she came to know and love the truth. And now she's passing that truth on, adopting children, investing in their lives, and serving in her local church. Now, at one point, Nadalka was desperate for truth, and she typed "help for women" in her web browser. And that's what led her to reviveourhearts.com. The reason Revive Our Hearts was there for her in that crucial moment was thanks to listeners just like you who give to help make Revive Our Hearts possible. So when you support Revive Our Hearts, you're helping us connect with countless more women just like Nadalka. They're desperate for the truth. They're looking for help. And we want to be there with the truth of God's word for them. In order for our ministry to continue the kinds of outreach that have meant so much to Nadalka, we're asking the Lord to provide at least $680,000 in the month of May. That allows our current outreaches to keep going strong, and it will also help us take advantage of some new opportunities to be there when women around the world come searching for help. So would you take a moment and stop and ask the Lord how He'd want you to get involved? And then let me encourage you to send a gift of any amount, whatever the Lord places on your heart, by May 31st to help meet this fiscal year-end need that we're trusting the Lord with. To make your donation, just give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can donate online at reviveourhearts.com. Thank you for your role in helping to spread the truth that is setting hearts free around the world.
Thanks, Nancy. If you were moved by Nedelka's story, I hope you'll check out the video the Revive Our Hearts team made with her and her family. You'll find it at reviveourhearts.com. Maybe you know someone who would be encouraged by the story. You can send them a link to the short film or share it on social media. Again, you'll find the video at reviveourhearts.com. Tomorrow, Nancy will talk about the value of encouragement. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth is proclaiming the truth that sets women free. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.